I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Jacoby Brissett with us months ago now. When was the mutiny thing? Was that after the Jets, the first Jets game?
49ers, I thought.
The Niners game, that could be.
Didn't he say this was at the beginning of the month that he said it, in October.
Yeah, okay. I think he said I was in the locker room in San Francisco, and the defense was fighting the defense, and the offense hates the offense, and it's a mutiny they're teetering on.
Yeah.
Now he says the media is too tough on people.
So, yes, the San Francisco game was on the 29th. So if that was right at the beginning of October, then that would line up, I guess, with that.
Yeah.
The Miami game was then on the 6th, so it was in between those two games. I think that's right. That sounds right to me. The Monday after that was right around the beginning of that. So, yeah, okay, there it is. And that was harsh. I mean, that was a harsh thing for Jacoby Brissett to say about a fellow Patriots employee, nonetheless. But certainly about a guy who I think reported something accurate. I think that that was pretty on point, and I don't really think that anything that's happened since then has softened my belief that, yeah, this was a real problem going on in that locker room. There was some real beef going on there, and maybe it wasn't the offense being mad at the defense or anything, because what the hell could they even be mad about? No one's playing well, and they were all mad at each other. Maybe mutiny is the wrong word in the sense that if you're mad at each other, then you're not necessarily trying to overthrow the coach. Mutiny implies making someone walk the plank, like the captain has to walk the plank in a mutiny, and maybe that's not exactly what it was, but there was a lot going on there. It was a tense situation, and it's probably gotten worse since then, to the point now where these mediocre to bad wide receivers, as you point out, Andy, feel very comfortable just coming out and saying whatever they want all the time to whoever's there ready to listen and write it down. I mean, it's really something in this locker room right now.
Yeah, and as dumb as I think what Evan Lazar said this week is, based on challenging other reporters and the way they're handling things, I think he was dead on. I actually questioned the word mutiny at the time. I think he was accurate, and I think he was seeing it. Because to me, what KJ Osborne has done this over the last week is a mutiny type thing. If you're airing the dirty laundry, if you think the coaching staff is mishandling players, isn't that a mutiny? Isn't that a whistleblower?
Definitely,
kind of thing?
Yeah, sure.
You're being a whistleblower. The coaches are so bad, they told me Wednesday I wasn't playing. Then Saturday night, they told me I had to play, and it wasn't fair, and it's not right, and they're bad coaches. That's a mutiny. I think that is trying to make your head coach look bad.
He's demanding a trade in the media, and he knows he has no trade value. Like, that's...
But
that
I don't think
right
that's
there,
mutiny. No, I think guys demand trades all the time, and it doesn't. The first thing, the social media thing, to me, he was intentionally undercutting his coaching staff. That is, he wanted to make the coaching staff look bad. That's a mutiny. I also think Kayshon Booty is a step towards mutiny. When you say, it's really ridiculous, the only time I get the ball is when I ask for it, and I've caught both balls they threw to me, so maybe they should know what the hell they're doing, right? He's questioning, he's undercutting the authority and the coaching and the skill and the ability of Alex Van Pelt and the coaches. Those two actions by Osborne and Booty, to me, are how you would start a mutiny, how you would the players revolting against the authority. So I think Evan Lazar, was that a month ago now? Is that what you're saying? What are we? 20?
Yeah, just about. Between 3 and 4 weeks ago, yes.
Yeah, I think he was observing properly. I think he was prescient, to use a big fancy word.
Yes, and mutinous behavior is what we had there, I think.
Is that a real word?
It is a word. Sure. I just looked it up right now. A adjective, refusing to obey the orders of a person in authority, someone who is mutinous, generally referring to soldiers or sailors.
Or football players that play wide receiver for the New England Patriots.
Yes, wide receivers on the New England Patriots, of course. The most mutinous of all. And speaking of which, joining us right now here on the hotline is your friend and mine. You can catch his stuff over at Boston Sports Journal, and you can have his work critiqued by Evan Lazar over at Patriots Unfiltered. I'm talking, of course, about Mike Giardi, who joins the show right now. Mike, how you doing?
What a jackass.
which one of us are you referring to?
Yeah, I think it was the guy that you referenced as critiquing work lately. He should figure out how to be a journalist first and foremost, and then get back to me.
Okay, well, he did get, I don't know if you heard it in the beginning here, he did get sort of slapped down by Jacoby Brissett a little early on. It seems like maybe he's trying to repair his reputation in that locker room. Is that something you can relate to?
I would just say, you know, he said the mutiny thing, and it feels like we're going in a 180 degree direction the other way. So, you know, that's for him to live with. He can choose to do with it what he wants.
So, Mike, I was just thinking, I have no idea what the first question I want to ask you is, because there is so much going on with this football team. There's so many layers to dysfunction. But let's start at sort of the most recent thing, and that was the end of Gerard Mayo's press conference today when he did the whole Belichickian Jets breakdown, which if you're going to really mimic Bill, is supposed to be done on Wednesday, not on Friday as you get close to the game. And then he said, Coach Stacy told me to talk about the Jets. What did you think of that? How did you interpret that? Why is he telling us? I know he likes to make those little jokes, but how did you interpret the Coach Stacy comment after his Jets-focused press conference?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think things have gone so far, again, speaking of going in the wrong direction, have gone so far in the wrong direction, and he's talked about wanting to be transparent and giving us as much as he can without, you know, revealing, you know, details that might compromise their position in a game or something like that. And when you're 1-6 and your wide receiver room is squawking left and right, and you're not getting simple things done, you know, like how many times are they misaligned or guys just didn't fill a gap in the last 5 weeks now? Like, you keep talking about fixing the same things and they don't get fixed. And maybe this is his way of just being like, you know what? I'm just going to rewind all this stuff, as he continues to do all season long, you know, so like I cast it out there and I'm going to bring it back in, and let's just kind of go with this more basic monotone, just whatever approach that obviously Bill had working for him for 20 years.
Is it desperation?
I think the message on the team meeting on Thursday was not only about, you know, do more. I mean, certainly a lot of that was the vibe out of that, but also, let's stop bringing the noise to the public and to the media. You know, if you got issues, let's do our best to keep them in-house, which, again, is reverse of what he was saying back in the spring, summer, and early fall with Judon and et cetera. Like, oh, no, be a man. Nope. He gave them an opportunity to do that, and there's too many guys that can't handle it, so this is probably an overcorrection, but something that has to be done.
Mike, in the last 2 years of the Belichick era, there was plenty of games I remember afterwards. Mac Jones, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, guys openly questioning the play calling, sort of doing the same sort of stuff. Maybe not to the extent that you're hearing it right now, but not exactly this tight-knit, you know, no leaks on this ship type of stuff. And I feel like there's a lot of revisionist history going on. What's the difference between sort of those years and the way it's all unfolding right now?
Well, the difference between those years and even as it started to unravel for Bill is that you could look at the resume and say, well, no, he always gets a sixth, and, you know, he'll have an answer for this, or he'll quell this because that's what he's done. Or, you know, he'll say to this guy, you know what, I don't like you speaking out. You know, Bears tapped him on the shoulder, he came into my office, and now you're not going to play as much. And generally, he put someone else in there who wasn't as good, and that guy would play just fine, and he'd be like, oh, he did it again. You know, he hit the right buttons. I think now.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, when you're 1-6 and pretty much every button you've hit has been the wrong one, I mean, that's a massive difference. Gerard doesn't have the coaching resume to fall back on in the success and say, no, we did it this way and it worked, and this is how we're going to continue to do it. He is trying to operate his way through this as a first-time head coach, and we're seeing the growing pains. I thought they were going to happen. I just didn't know they would happen to this extent.
Is Gerard Mayo on the hot seat?
I think he's fine for this year, Andy. I mean, if it devolves into complete chaos, and even though this has been a pretty loud week or two,
what does complete chaos look like if this is not complete chaos?
I mean, I think the complete chaos would be leaders of the team openly calling out the coach. And I don't think we're there yet. I think, you know, you've got the KJ Osborne, Kayshon Booty, the Jalen Polk. You guys haven't really done anything or very much in this league. And if you have some qualms of beefs about what's going on, whatever, fine. But
wait a minute. Sorry to interrupt, though.
Yes.
So you say if the leaders of the team are calling out the coach, Yesterday, when he was asked who should be the mentor that wide receivers should follow, Alex Van Pelt said KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne is the one who posted about not being happy that he found out on Saturday night that he was going to play because he was told on Wednesday that he was inactive. I mean, isn't that borderline a leader of the team calling out the head coach and trying to embarrass the coach?
I think that you and I would define leaders in a different manner. I don't think.
No, I'm letting Alex Van Pelt decline it.
Alex said what he said. I can't break it down. If that's what he believes, that's what he believes. But obviously, if that's a leader, then the guy wouldn't have been sitting in weeks 5 and 6 and wouldn't have sat in week 7 if not for the illness that was going around the wide receiver room in London. So, you know, like, what are we talking about? That'd be like, I don't even know, like, I'm trying to think of like a random Patriot player who'd been in the room for a few years and you're like, oh, well, he's been here. Yeah, but he doesn't play. When he plays, he doesn't make an impact. So what kind of leader can you be?
I wonder if this whole thing is going to be detrimental towards the development of Drake May, which, Mike, this whole season was supposed to be about just that, basically, right? No one really cared that much about how many wins they had or if they were going to beat the Jets or anything like that. It was about Drake May developing him and seeing what you have there at quarterback. Is all of this chaos and turmoil and mutiny crap, it can't be good for him, can it?
Well, so far he's handling it. And I did ask Van Pelt on Thursday, sort of like, do you worry that he's going to be too hyper-focused on, you know, like, taking care of the guy? See how he complained, so let me get him the ball.
Right.
He even mentioned, like, throwing the ball last week to Kendrick Bourne. Like, Kendrick was working hard, and I felt like I had to get him the ball. That's one thing, but if you're going to start listening to Kayshon Boutte believing that he's open on every single play and you should throw him the ball, and that's not where the read's supposed to go, or that's not what the matchup says, or, in fact, he's not open, then that would be a problem. But, you know, again, so it's a small sample size. It's just 2 games. But he hasn't done that, and it feels as though he just got a little, like, coolness to him. Like, all right, fine, man. Like, if you're not where you're supposed to be, I'm not going to throw you the ball, which is, I think, why you're seeing in particular Hunter Henry the last couple weeks. Like, Hunter, he knows where Hunter's going to be, so Hunter's going to get fed.
In terms of the wide receiver room, it feels like if I were coaching and sort of just wanted to bring it back together, there would be an example made. Do you think that is a possibility where they could make an example of someone, either a trade, although I don't know if they have anybody that would really garner much in a trade, or could there be somebody who gets cut? Because it feels like even Jalen Polk, we were talking about last week, oh, would he be inactive and does he need to be shown a lesson? And he was out there until he got banged up or whatever. Do you think there could be a lesson made, taught, and who would the most likely candidate be in your mind?
I think, Rick, I kind of feel like that's not going to happen. I just feel like even when they have, as you mentioned, when they've done it, they haven't done it to some great extent, right? So, like, it was clear we knew Wayquan McMillan wasn't going to play that much based on his previous performance. And so Christian Ellis gets out there 60% of the time. Christian Ellis isn't much better than Wayquan McMillan, if he's better at all. Like, you're in the same situation. Like, this week I would not play KJ Osborne. But if Jalen Polk's not active and Javon Baker can't be trusted to be out there, then what are you doing? You're calling up, I think the kid's name is Jake Westover from the practice squad. Like, I don't know. Ooh. I mean, maybe you do that, but it doesn't feel that that's the direction they're going in.
But don't they need to do something like that? Like, don't they need, like, you're not trying to win games.
Oh, Andy, I would have traded. Look, Chris Mason and I talked to KJ Osborne on Wednesday, I wrote on Tuesday in the Boston Sports Journal that I was done with him. I would trade him. And, like, look, I don't know what they told him when he signed here. He's obviously not making a ton of money, but you're looking at two supposed to be professionals in the room, Kendrick Bourne and KJ Osborne, and the rest are a bunch of young, unproven guys who may never be able to prove themselves because they're just not good enough. But so he comes in here, and that's just not how you do it. And dissatisfied with your situation, nobody wants to be on a 1-6 football team. I get all that, but, like, dude, we're leaning on you to be a pro, and you're just doing the same thing that the first and second year players are doing.
Is there any way?
Doesn't fly for me.
Is there any way that this gets better? Like, if they beat the Jets this weekend, for example, Mike, do you think some of this could start turning around at all?
Oh, I think they desperately need a win. I think we've been saying that. I think I said the Miami game. Like, just get a win. Like, it doesn't even matter how you get it. 10-9. If they won that game 16-15, whatever it may be, 3-2. They just need to feel some positivity, because 6 straight weeks of losing, basically getting your face pounded in during that entire time. And like the questions are more direct and the feelings are raw, and it just, we're seeing it. It's definitely like there's an unraveling that's happening. It hasn't unraveled all the way. And maybe if you steal a win here, or, you know, Tennessee, it could be the everybody wear bags over their heads for that game type of situation in Tennessee 2 weeks from now. Like, then whatever, just get one. You just need to feel some good vibes, and they haven't felt that for a long time.
Mike, right, based on the play, I just got to collect another one of these. Just, this is for you, Arcand. Okay. Based on the play over the last couple of weeks, who has the better quarterback heading into Sunday's game at Gillette Stadium?
Well, Drake's playing better than Aaron.
Yeah. Let's go. Thank you, Mike. You answered it properly.
Yeah, well, I mean, and look, that's, again, with short sample size, no one's making predictions about the long-term viability of Drake. But in this period right now, absolutely. Aaron threw a dreadful interception when his team was on the verge of running Pittsburgh out of the building and took all the air out of the balloons. And then, the second one, he hits the perfect throw, hits Garrett Wilson right in the chest. Somehow the ball pops up in the air like 20. I mean, it was the dumbest thing ever. But, like, that's just sort of how it's going for them, too. And he hasn't been good enough. And he's blamed Mike Williams, and he blames this and that and the coach and whatever. And he's not, you know, the last good game he played was actually a great game, and it happened against you on that Thursday night.
All right. If May has a bad game, you can blame Andy Hart for screaming all week that May is better than Aaron Rodgers. And also Patrick Mahomes, he said the other day, too. So if that happens, you can blame one Andy Hart for that, nobody else. Mike Giardi, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. You can check out his stuff there and online at Mike Giardi on Twitter. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the World Series begins tonight. Woo! Do you care? Do you care about the World Series? And we'll get to the Red Sox pillar power rankings. It's coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.